Everybody tell me Yomi, today we're up to Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis 43b and we are on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We just quoted the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, just like you are not allowed to put a vessel under a hen to receive its egg, so too you are not allowed to go and put a vessel over the egg so that way the egg is not going to get crushed, because Rabbi Yitzchak held, Ein kli nital el davar hanital b'shabbos. You're only allowed to use a non-mukta item for the sake of something which is not mukta, but you're not allowed to use that item for something which is mukta. And we're in the middle of a bunch of different questions and explaining why either something is not mukta, or even if it is maybe mukta, it's something which is litzarech mekoma, where once you've picked up the non-mukta item for a different reason, because you need that space, you're then allowed to put it wherever, even if it's going to be benefiting the mukta item itself. So we're in the middle of these questions by Tashma. Says the Gemara, Tashma, come here, proof, porcin machatzeles agabi kaveres devorim b'shabbos. You're allowed to spread a mat over a beehive on Shabbos, b'chamim ne'achama, in the sun, in order to protect the beehive from the sun, and to protect it from the rain, as long as you do not have intent to go ahead and trap the bees. We know tzad is a malacha, we're going to have to talk a lot more about the time, but as long as you don't have intent to go and violate this malacha of tzad, then it's going to be okay. But the beehive itself is mukta, yet still we see that the Brice is permitting you to move a mat to go ahead and protect it. So how could this work according to Rabbi Yitzchak? Answers the Gemara, mayaskinan di'ika dvash. No, the case is where there's honey in the hive, so therefore it is not going to be mukta. Now the Gemara objects to this. The Gemara says, Amar le Rav Ukva Mimeshan le Ravashi. Rav Ukva Mimeshan asked to Ravashi. Tenach be mos hachama. So this makes sense during summer months to eat dvash, because there's honey in the hive when it's the summer months. That's why you'd be allowed to cover it, because it's not going to be mukta. But be mos hagashamim delech dvash ma'ikalim emar. But in the winter where there is no honey in the hive, what are you supposed to say? How are you going to answer this question? Why are you allowed to use the mat to protect the hive if it should be mukta because there's no honey? So answer the Gemara, lo nitzuchel oson shtei chalos. So no, the case in the winter is talking about that there are two honeycombs that are left in the hive during the winter. Those are there to sustain the bees. And since that honey is edible, technically, a mat is allowed to be moved to protect it, and that's why it's not going to be considered mukta. But ask the Gemara, how muktas nidhu? But these are mukta because they're set aside for the bees' use, not for your own use. So how can you use the mat to go and cover the beehive? This should be, again, using a non-mukta item to cover a mukta item, which should be a problem according to Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara says, no, dechashiv alayu. No, the case is talking about where you had in mind that you're going to use these two honeycombs for human consumption, and therefore they're not going to mukta, and therefore you would be allowed to cover it. Ask the Gemara, halo chashev alai humai, but let's say you did not plan to use these honeycombs, what would be the halacha? Aser, you tell me that it's going to be aser ihachi, if that's true. Haditani bevachol iskavin latzud, liflug v'lisne bedidah. If you look back to the initial proof that we had against this, we said that you're allowed to cover them to protect from the sun or to protect from the rain, as long as you don't have intent to go ahead and trap the bees. But that shouldn't be the thing that we are dependent on. Rather, it should be on the laws of mukta itself. It should have nothing to do with whether you had kavana to trap these bees or not. It should only have kavana to do with whether you set aside these things for use on Shabbos. If they were set aside for human consumption and you said you were going to use these on Shabbos, then it would be okay, and if not, not. So what's this whole thing about kavana latzot? So answers the Gemara, hakamash malan. So the Brice is coming to teach us, she'af al pi shechishev alehen, even if you plan to use the honeycombs, ubevad shalei iskavin latzot, you're still only allowed to cover these bees and the beehive with the assumption that you did not intend to trap the bees. That's the only time that it's going to be allowed. But if this is true, now we have to figure out who the author of this brisa would be, because money. Who is the author of this brisa who would say this whole shita? E Rabbi Shimon, if we're talking about Rabbi Shimon lesley mukta. Rabbi Shimon's not worried about this type of mukta. Pointed out a bunch of times as a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about mukta. Rabbi Yehuda's more expansive cases of mukta, and Rabbi Shimon has much less mukta, which is why it says lesley mukta. It doesn't mean he doesn't accept the whole concept of mukta by itself. It just means he has many less cases of mukta. So according to Rabbi Shimon, this wouldn't be an issue of mukta, so there's no problem. E Rabbi Yehuda, if we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of this brisa, who has the broader application of mukta, kilo miskavin mayhave. What benefit does it have that the person doesn't intend to trap the bees? Because Rabbi Yehuda has another shita of ha davar shein miskavin aser. Because we know davar shein miskavin, something where something happens even though you didn't intend for that to happen. So you're dragging a bench on the grass, and maybe grass is going to come out, maybe not. So that might be okay. That's the machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says davar shein miskavin is mutter. So in that situation, you didn't mean to do it. It's not for sure going to happen, so it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be aser. But here too, what's the difference if you meant or had in mind to trap the bees? If you might trap the bees, davar shein miskavin is usher according to Rabbi Yehuda. So how are we going to explain this brisa? So answers the Gemara, Liolam Rabbi Yehuda. Really, the author of the brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. My bilvad shelo yiskavin latzot. So what does it mean when we say that as long as you don't have in mind to trap the bee? Shelo yasena kimitsuda. It means that you can't use the mat to cover the beehive fully. You can't make it like a literal trap where it's covering the entire beehive. Delishbok luhu ravcha. You need to give it a little bit of space so the bees could technically escape. Ki yichidelo listatu memelo. So that way the bees aren't for sure trapped, and then it would turn into a psik ratio where it's something that we know for sure is going to happen, that everyone agrees is going to be usher. But if you give them room to escape, then it would be okay, seemingly even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yoga. Now, Rav Ashi comes and gives a different explanation to the initial question, where we said that this is good for the summer months where there is honey, but not for the winter months where there is no honey. How do you explain? So we had to explain the honeycombs and stuff. So Rav Ashi comes with another answer. He says, Rav Ashi Amar, Mikadani bi mosacham uvi mosagesham. Did the Brisa say that it happens in the summer and the winter, meaning what we thought that it's during those specific months? No, it just said when it's sunny and when it's rainy. It could be that that's all at one time. It's talking about the days of Nisan and Tishrei where there are sunny days and there are rain days. And there's honey there all the time. So there's no problem of the other months where there is no honey because we're talking about months where there's sun and there's rain and there's honey. So that's why it's not going to be a problem. It's not going to be muksa. So that's why you would allow to use the mat to cover the beehive on Shabbos. Now the Gemara brings a support for Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion again that non-muksa items cannot be used to go and support muktzah items. So Amar Lo Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said to his students, Poku Vimru Lele Rabbi Yitzchak, go out and tell Rabbi Yitzchak, Kvar Tirgma Rav Huna L'Shmaitich B'Bavel, that Rav Huna already said your Shita in Bavel. Damar Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said, Osin Mechitza L'Meis B'Shvil Chai. We have to know that a corpse is something which is muktzah, but still, if it's laying there in the sun, we don't want it to rot in the sun, so what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to make an awning to protect the corpse from the sun, as long as it's really for the sake of a living person. But you're not allowed to put an awning to protect the dead body from the sun for the sake of the dead body itself. So you need to basically figure out a way that it's actually going to be saving the person who's alive from the sun. If it happens to also be saving the dead body from the sun, that's good, but it can't be just for the purpose of saving the dead body from the sun. So mahi, what does this mean? The Amar of Shmuel Bar Yehuda V'chein Tana Shila Mari. Meis hamuta b'chama. If a corpse is lying in the sun and is in danger of rotting, b'im shnei b'nei adam yosh mitzido. So two people should come and sit next to the corpse on the hot ground. One should sit on each side of the corpse. Cham lahem milmata, when they feel hot on the bottom. Zem mevi mitav yosheva lahem, zem mevi mitav yosheva lahem. So one should bring a bed and sit upon it, and the other person should bring a bed and sit upon it. Cham lahem milmala. And then the top of their bodies start to get hot. Mevim machatzeles uporsin alehem. Zeh zokev mitaso v'nishma v'lhodech. Zeh zokev mitaso v'nishma v'lhodech. Then they should go get a mat and spread it over their heads, and that way it's going to cover them and the corpse and everything in between. So basically they're making this tent for themselves because first their bottom was hot, then their top was hot, but it happens to be covering the dead body also, and this way you're allowed to do it. And therefore it comes that an awning automatically came and helped this dead person. So this is the situation that we're talking about, that as long as you do it for the live person, then it's going to be okay. As long as you're not doing it for the dead person, the support should be it's luck because you're not allowed to use non-muktzah things in order to help a muksa item. It's important to know, Rashi points out, that you need, if you're going to be building this machitza, you need to make the wall in a way that's not normal. Otherwise, it would be an iser derabanan of creating a temporary ohel, an ohel arai. So that's why you need to build the ceiling first and then the two walls. But again, not for us right now, but this is how you would go ahead and protect the dead body by really serving it to the live people and protecting them. And then it could happen to be helping the dead body as well. Now the Gemara gets into a bit of a side topic based on this discussion of how we are supposed to remove a corpse from the sun on Shabbos. So Itmar, it was stated in Mesamuta Bachama, if there's a corpse laying in the sun on Shabbos and you want to transfer it to the shade. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel says, Hofcho mimita lemita, you should roll the corpse from bed to bed until it reaches the shade. Chanina bar Shlamiya mishmei derav Amar, and they say in the name of Rav, Maniach alav kikaro tinok umetautala. What you should do is you should place a loaf of bread or an infant on top of the corpse, and then you are allowed to go ahead and move it. The reason this would be okay is because now it's going to become a basis l'davar ha'asar u'davar ha'mutter, because it has a dead body on it and now it has mutter things on it, and then you would be allowed to move it on Shabbos. Normally you would not be allowed to create a situation where something is a basis l'davar ha'asar and mutter, but here Chazal allowed it only by a mace because, you know, you can imagine that people wouldn't want this to happen to the dead bodies, so they made this gzera that they're not going to say it's muksa in this situation. So Tosas talks about this a lot, and many other Rishonim get into this, but not for us right now, but we should know this is the machlokas. Rav says that you have to go and do this thing where you put the loaf of bread or an infant on top, but Shmuel says you could just roll it from bed to bed until it gets to the shade. So now the Gemara analyzes these shitas of Rav and Shmuel. So, hey, chadika kikaro tinok, when you have a loaf of bread or an infant available, kuyama lo puyidishari, everyone agrees that you're allowed to move the corpse by first putting the bread or infant on it and then moving it. Keep ligi, so when do they argue? To less light. When you don't have a loaf of bread or an infant available. So there's also a machlokas whether these things are specific or just general examples. Again, not for us right now. So, mar savar tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul, mar savar lo shmei tiltul. So the machlokas is, are you allowed to indirectly move something or not? So one shita, Rav would hold that you are not allowed to move something indirectly because it is shmei tiltul, it's called moving, and that's going to be a problem, and that's why you would not be allowed to just roll it from bed to bed until it gets to the shade. But Shmuel holds that it's lo shmei tiltul, and you are allowed to go ahead and move it And there would be no muktzah issues. Tosfos points out that we paskin that it's when it's letzorach davar ha mutter, then it's lo shmei tilto, and it would be okay. So that's an interesting concept, and we're going to see much more on this tilto menatzad, moving things in an indirect way, what its status is. Lema ketanai, I got to say that this machlokas that we just said, Rav and Shmuel argue about tilto menatzad, is also a machlokas tanai. Because the Braisa says, in matzionas ha-meis mibnei ha-deleka, you're not allowed to save a corpse from a fire by moving that corpse. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, shamati shamatzionas ha-meis mibnei ha-deleka, but I heard a tradition that we are allowed to save a corpse from a fire by moving it out. So what's the case? Idi ika kikaro tinok. So if you have a loaf of bread or a tinok where you can put that on the corpse and then move it, so my time at Tanakama. So why would you not be allowed to use it? Idaleka, if there are no babies or loaves of bread, so my time at Rabbi Yehuda would have been luckish, and why would you be allowed to move it? Ela b'tilto min hatzad pligi. Rather, the machlokas must be about tilto min hatzad. Demar savar tilto min hatzad shmei tilto, ma savar lo shmei tilto, because one shita holds that tilto min hatzad is going to be allowed, and the other one says that moving it indirectly is not going to be allowed. That must be what these two arguments are. These two shitos are in terms of moving a dead body from a fire. So answers the Gemara, no, this is not necessarily the same machlokas, because says the Gemara, lo dekuli alma tilto min atzad shmei tilto. Really, everyone agrees that it is considered tilto, and normally it would be forbidden to move a corpse, even indirectly, in such a situation. Hainu tamid Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Ah, so if that's true, then how did Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish allow you to save the corpse from the fire? Demitoksha adam bo almeso, e lo sharis le asig lechabuye. So comes Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, says the Chachamim made a calculated decision. They said, if we're not going to permit it in this situation, if we're not going to allow people to move their corpse of their relative, their dead body, then people are just going to come to extinguish the fire, which is going to be a much worse Isra on Shabbos. So therefore, we're going to allow you to move it, tiltum and atzad, in this situation, and that's why we are going to allow it. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Sheila, Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, b'meis. When it comes to a mace, we follow Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish because of this chashash. We don't want people violating bigger Isurim, that you are allowed to go and move the dead body. Now the Gemara goes to the last part of the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to benefit from the oil since it was not prepared for Shabbos use. So the Mishnah didn't tell us explicitly whether this Isser of the oil is only while the flame is burning or even after it goes out. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa to figure out this point. So Tana Rabbanan Rabbi Shonas Braisa Mosar Hashemin Shabaner Veshevakara Usser. So the first Shita is that the leftover oil in a lamp or in a bowl is going to be Usser even after the flame goes out. Rabbi Shimon Matir, and Rabbi Shimon says it would be okay. This is Daf Mem Gimel Mbeis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.